I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, as springtime rolls around, that means it's all kinds of playoff times, somewhat anyway, and we're talking once again with NHL agent and Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar. Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Nice to be back, Rick. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, great, Dale, man. How you doing? You got your shot yet?
No, still waiting. Hopefully this week.
Well, as I said, that's the problem with being a young man in great health. See, you're last on the list. See, that's the trouble.
Oh yeah, I wish.
I got you, Coach. Coach, so much to talk about. First, I'm thinking maybe a quick wrap on Winthrop High School hockey, the NEC hockey, and high school hockey in general, because you know, it didn't look like anything was going to get played there at first, and then it turned out, in my opinion, to be an incredibly competitive, successful high school hockey season.
Yeah, it was tremendous. It was, you know, I feel bad for the kids that fell into protocol, obviously Gloucester, and, you know, not being able to play a full schedule, but at least we got a schedule. Would have been nice, I think, some of the other conferences, I think, did a playoff, and, you know, I guess, in points, us and Masco, you know, tied.
Yep.
You know, and we had, you know, Masco's a great team. We were fortunate to beat them and tie them. But Bobblehead was right there, great team. I mean, it was great. It was really great. I felt bad for the, obviously, the protocols and everything the kids had to go through. No locker rooms, no team dinners, tough to bond. But hey, listen, they get out there and they competed, and we got them out of the house.
yeah.
Again, we were very fortunate.
Well, as I said, Coach, and I'm not going to get tired of saying this. You coaches, as educators and coaches, you not only do what you do, but you also protected these kids in unusual circumstances, and I think parents have got to be appreciative of that, and I know that I certainly am as a spectator. It was great to be able to see what you guys did. And I do think, Coach, when kids come back from college or whatever in a year or two from now, you guys are going to have some great memories and probably some laughs over all this. It's not funny, but in retrospect, it will be something you look back on that you conquered. I mean, you got past it.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly tested a lot of these kids and probably made them adapt to things that they never thought they'd have to, you know, confront in their lives. I mean, a worldwide pandemic, people, you know, I'm sure people were, every family was probably, you know, compromised in some way, whether it was themselves, relatives, or friends, or somebody. It was a difficult time. Hopefully we're getting through it. And, you know, we're just trying to make those memories, like you said. And I think, you know, these kids, what they accomplished this year was great. The only thing I thought was kind of crazy was for the parents, you know, not being able to see your kids play, especially if you're a senior. Like we hosted games at our rink against our opponents where we were the away team.
Okay.
The parents couldn't even come. I mean, I think they could have social distanced enough.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, and, you know, so, I mean, you go to Market Basket or somewhere else, everybody's around, so.
Well, the thing is, you go to Walmart, my God, you can't move in there. Yeah, so,
So, you know, to social distance parents, I don't think would have been so difficult. Yeah. And I know football and all the other sports are trying to get, you know, some rules changed. I don't know if the MIA is just going to blanket it for everybody because we went through it, but I don't think we should. I think parents, you know, if it's feasible, like football or baseball, we are outside, hopefully they can get there.
Yeah.
That was the one real drawback that I saw that, you know, I felt bad for the parents.
I agree. Coach, I want to transition to the college game now. You have seen success at every level, and the schools in Boston, the colleges who were most successful, of course, in hockey over the years, you know, the big four in town with Harvard, BC, Northeastern, and BU, And you guys had, back when you played, I think, I don't mean to put it that way, but when you played, there were some, Division I players from the area, and it sort of tailed off over the years. And then, I'm looking at UMass, which has struggled in major sports except for that one big flourish in basketball back in the 90s. UMass has struggled. They're having a terrible time in Division I football. Basketball is not what it was. But lo and behold, UMass wins the ECAC against UMass Lowell this weekend in hockey. And I don't even know how to describe that. How do you look at the ECACs maybe and maybe college hockey in general in the area?
Well, I mean, Hockey East is a very competitive league. I mean, my senior year was the first year of Hockey East. And, I mean, you got some of the best schools around. To try to recruit, I coached at UMass Amherst for a few years as an assistant. And, you know, it's almost like if you're going down to see a kid after the game, you know, you're waiting like 10th in line. You know, BC,
yeah.
BU, Northeast,
yep.
Harvard,
yep.
Providence. It was. And not to mention other schools that are coming in. So, you know, it's a difficult, because let's face it, it's all about recruiting. You can have the best building, you can have the best equipment, whatever. If you have a coach that can, a great recruiter, like Maine changed their whole dynamic with I know his name too. But their assistant was unbelievable,
mm-hmm.
and he used to go everywhere, and he had more connections. But if you look at UMass Amherst, I mean, now they have a Canadian coach in there who's got a pipeline to Toronto and all different places.
Ah, okay.
So that's a big part of it. I mean, you don't get Cale Makar last year and he'll be mm-hmm. a winner without having connections where he was going. And, you know, so I think that's a huge part of it. Back when I played, a lot of kids, the public schools, there wasn't any junior really, you know, and prep school you went to only as a PG.
Mm-hmm.
So every school was basically homebred with their kids. They stayed. Then you did that year of, if you had to for maturity or what have you, that year of prep, then you went in.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's so different. You know, it's just a different dynamic. You've got so much hockey. It's so diluted. It's crazy. I mean, some of these programs pay you can play, and that's not right.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, Coach, this is, you know, the thing about UMass, I remember when I was out there, Coach Jack Kniff, former Gloucester High School coach, was the coach out there, and they promised him a rink. They never gave it to him. But he had a lot of local kids. These were Massachusetts kids. They were not coming down from across the border. And when you played, even at BU, I mean, you had to compete with all these Canadian kids who skate probably every day of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, we were half and half. BC wouldn't recruit Canadians. They were all Mass, so, or New England, or,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, United States bred. So, you know, I mean, for them to compete against, you know, half Canadian teams, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were loaded, and you know, it's funny because now even the dynamic with the U.S. development team and everything, you know, you can go to, you know, the real good ones don't stay 4 years anymore either.
Oh yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
And like John Cullen, I played with him for 3 years, you know, played in the NHL for 11 years. Great kid, great player. He, you know, his banner, they finally put the banner up of him as the all-time leading goal scorer because it will never be beat. Because if you're that good,
mm-hmm.
you're already gone after your sophomore, junior year.
Oh, wow, yeah. Good
and,
point.
You know, I mean, he had a lot of points. So that's safe to put up, and that's indicative of the system. And the other one is, you know, I'm just not a fan of 20, 21-year-old freshmen. You know, they're men.
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
You're trying to bring young kids along,
yeah.
And it's like playing in a men's league some nights.
Well, I know a high school that had a 20, 21-year-old kid in high school, so we won't go there. But, Coach, what's your advice to players when you see kids now, in the area who have potential for Division I in public schools? Because I know some of the coaches I've talked with will say, as much as we want to keep this particular kid or whoever it is, he's got a better shot if he goes such and such or so and so. How do you counsel hockey players, Dale? Because you also have your camps and stuff, and you talk with so many other coaches. It's not just Winthrop High School. But what's the thing you look for when you advise them and say, okay, this kid can, he's got a real shot, so you have to sort of help funnel him somewhere?
Well, I had the perfect example. I had Chris LeBlanc, who played for me a few years back. Well, let me see, 7 years, mm-hmm. 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, he dominated. He was a stud. From his junior to his senior, he put on almost 6 inches.
Oh, wow. Oh, jeez.
Didn't lose any of his coordination. If anything, he got scarier. I mean, he had great hands, great vision,
mm-hmm.
could skate. I mean, he had it all. And, you know, going into his senior year, I said, listen, he dominated it was his sophomore to his junior he put on that. And then his mm-hmm. junior, he just dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, I went to his house and I said, listen, it's time to go.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, at that time I had a certain prep school that I worked with, that bred a lot of top players. And I said, you know, I've got you all set here. You can do this, and this is your pipeline.
Wow.
And, you know, they were intrigued and they were, they were excited. I said, I'll never, I've seen a lot of people leave early, but never too late.
Right.
And, you know, this is time. It's all about timing. You've grown into your body. You're dominating this league. You need to be really challenged by bigger, stronger players, get banged around on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and, prepare for Division I.
Wow.
So, about a week later, he came back to me and the parents, and they said, Coach, you know what? We've changed our mind. He doesn't want to go. Chris said, listen, Coach, I want to finish what I started.
Okay.
I want to be captain. I want to carry us to a championship. And I told him, I said, listen, you know, that's fine, but you're giving up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good enough, you're still going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a longer road and a different challenge. And I said, and you're not going to want to know me because I am going to be so hard on you, you're going to wish mm-hmm. you never met me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was. And because, you know, he needed that challenge every single day that he was losing. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, high school, you know, some kids are taking it serious. Some kids are just happy to be there. Some mm-hmm. kids, you go to these other places, they're all going for the same thing.
Well, it's the same thing in education too, Coach. When you see a kid who's just, as you say, dominated the curriculum, and there's no challenge left, you do the same thing. You say, you know, you really need to yeah. move on, or that's the advice anyway.
Yep.
And it's
it worked out. He got a full scholarship to Merrimack.
Yep.
Played 4 years at Merrimack, and now he's playing in the East Coast League.
That's...
So you know, he got drafted by Ottawa. So he's, you know, it worked out for him.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different. Everybody develops at their own pace.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's the caveat.
And the thing is, too, I mean, as an educator, as a coach, I'm sure you temper expectations sometimes and say, you know, geez, you're really doing good for us, but you know, have a backup plan, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because so many, I think hockey and so on, so many sports are so expensive with parents, they have unrealistic expectations. But I do appreciate the hockey that we have in this area, especially, like I said, with the Big Four in Boston. Those schools are amazing.
Oh, it's great. I mean, the Beanpot's one of the best tournaments you can go to. It's, you know, right in our backyard. It's always exciting,
mm-hmm.
always upsets, you know, like what I'm watching right now with the March Madness. This is my favorite tournament.
Okay, this is stunning to me, Coach, because, you know, in the years I've known you, I just see you as a man who just eats, drinks, sleeps, hockey, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, but, as a coach and so on, as an educator, you got a little more depth than that, and you're following, basketball right now.
I don't leave the house. I'm serious. I mean, I just follow every game. I love it. It's the only real tournament that you can go wire to wire like Gonzaga's trying to do. You are truly the national, you know, champion. I mean, because it's David versus Goliath, and it certainly has lived up to that so far with all these.
Great.
I think it's awesome because the top teams don't know how to play against these teams. They don't know how to scout them. They don't know how to play against them. They don't know anything about them. There's no books on them. And these kids just come out and they're going for it. They're going right after you.
I haven't seen the brackets. So who are the favorites this year, Coach?
Gonzaga right now, they're up. They're going to advance.
Mm-hmm.
They're undefeated, which would be the first team since UCLA, I believe it was in 76 with John Wooden.
Oh, my goodness.
So to go wire to wire undefeated.
How's Duke? Is Duke in the tournament? Is Duke up there?
No, Duke didn't even come.
No kidding.
Call. They couldn't do it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep you from watching the games, Coach, because it is a respite for you, I know, and it must be fun to get outside of hockey now and then. But I do want to ask you about the Bruins. I don't know anything that's going on with this COVID thing. But what's your overall assessment as to how they're – they got half the team. I don't even recognize those names.
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of injuries, too. And then, you know, you had the scoring early and goaltending, which is the two main things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, protocol with Corona, close contact, some guys had. I mean, it just, you know, it's like putting a needle in a balloon. It can just devastate you.
Yeah.
Now you got to call up guys from the American League. You have to try to next man up, motto. But for some of these guys that you're trying to bring along, that next man up, you know, they're going to be trying to play minutes they've never played.
Right.
So it's tough. It's all about chemistry. It's day in, day out. It's not, you know, how many skilled, real skilled guys you have, because, you know, a good system and good players, committed guys can beat talent. But, you know, it's a shortened season. They know it. It's tough to lose man games to this. So it can have a serious impact, because trying to get back to where you were may take a couple of weeks, and we're at that juncture where you don't have a couple of weeks.
I know. Are there any of your guys that you're still following, Coach?
Oh, yeah, I got a bunch, but one of my kids is playing very well right now. Well, two of them, Zach Bogosian in Toronto, he's having a great year. And I just watched my boy the other night, a BU boy, Matt Nieto, that I've had since he was like 14. He just played his 500th game the other night for San Jose.
Damn.
Yeah, that was great. I was happy for him. And I text him. Every time I text him, it's kind of funny. Every time I text him, he scores.
So, okay.
And I don't do it a lot. If I feel it, I do it.
So yeah.
I texted him. He goes, uh-oh, I feel it. And he did. He scored.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a little joke we have between us. He's an awesome, awesome kid. And, you know, I'm just so happy for these kids that fulfilling their dreams. But they deserve it. They put the time in, and they're reaping the rewards.
Coach, with all your experience, and I'll leave it with this, but all your experience and all that you've done at every level and so on, it seems to me, as an educator, I mean, I'm X number of years old, and I'm retired from teaching, which is how old I am, but I still have this desire to follow this stuff and this burning in the belly of trying to promote kids and so on and watch sports. But you obviously still had that. You still strap up, put the skates on and you still want to impart your knowledge, but you're still a student of the game, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. The day you stop that, you stop learning. I mean, you can learn at every corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing how much you can learn, how the game changes.
Mm-hmm.
I just laugh now at just the power play breakouts, you know. These were never around before, even the way teams are killing penalties. So once you think, you know, you had a system versus everything, you know, you don't. I mean, so it's constantly changing. There's great minds behind those benches, very innovative. And it's good for the kids, because it's not just the same old, same old. You know.
Okay, well, you taught me something in terms of following March Madness, and I think that's great. And I don't know. Well, we got to talk again, Dale, before the NHL season gets too deep, because what is this? This is April coming up. The playoffs will be starting pretty soon, won't they?
Yep, pretty soon. So yeah, it's getting down to the nitty gritty.
Coach, thank you, man, for your knowledge, for teaching me all this stuff, and for the fun part, and. For heaven's sakes, be safe and get that damn vaccine.
Oh, I will. And it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Dale. All right, that is Dale Dunbar, who is an NHL agent and the coach of Winthrop High School Hockey. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.